Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday afternoon. With myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the Globetrotting program, where we normally talk travel, but so different now with this lockdown and with this coronavirus. We can't say we're talking travel, but we will tantalize your taste buds a little. Just a little. So we are going to be talking today in particular to somebody who's in Turkey. Last week we had somebody that was in the UK. Then we had somebody from Germany. We had somebody from Italy. And inshallah next week we do have somebody else lined up from another country. Just to get the perspective of the people and what's happening in those particular countries. It's good to know, because when we read media also sometimes we get a different perspective. People on the ground also a bit different. So we look at it like that. But today we are going to be talking Turkey, and we're talking to Brother Umer Ali, who is in Turkey at the moment and is going to be just giving us a bit of information on the situation on the ground. Before we start with all that, I came across something which I found so interesting, and this I thought I'd just share it with you. It's a sheikh that prayed without ablution, without wudu. It goes like this. The story of a sheikh who prayed without doing wudu. Abdullah was assigned to supervise the sheikh of the masjid in his area. The sheikh was a scholar with a lot of knowledge and had the looks of a righteous man and was respected by everyone. One day, the sheikh came to the masjid just before namaz time and went into the bathroom. While Abdullah went to do wudu, Abdullah finished doing wudu and went to drink water from the fridge next to the bathroom door. When the muaddin finished the adhan, the sheikh came out quickly, looking at his right and left, and did not see anyone. So he washed his hands and wiped his face with water and went into the masjid without doing wudu. Abdullah was watching and was shocked how the sheikh entered the masjid to perform salat without wudu. He was unable to sleep that night, thinking how he was deceived by the sheikh, who was pretending all these months to be a righteous man. He does not accept people to talk bad about others. He urges people to straighten and not to do sin, and calls them to repentance. It looks like all this time he was acting. The next day, Abdullah went to his old friend, the officer of the area, and told him everything that had happened. The officer hit his hand and said, "Oh, what a calamity. I have been praying behind the sheikh for 8 months, and he appears to be a liar and enters the masjid without wudu." The officer thanked Abdullah and told him to silence the matter and not to tell anyone, and he will follow up the matter. After telling his colleagues and their advisors, they decided to remove the sheikh and put him under surveillance. After which Abdullah was honored for his attention and keenness. The sheikh was removed, which made him to leave the city and go to his old city. Years later, Abdullah got a skin disease in his thigh, and the doctor told him that he should change the dressing whenever pus comes out of the inflammation so that the condition does not worsen. One day, he entered the masjid and had the pus on his wound. He had to change the dressing and went into the bathroom to replace the dressing. When he finished, he went out quickly to catch up with the congregational prayers. He stood in front of the water faucet and wanted to renew his wudu. He remembered that he did not break his wudu, and if he does wudu again, he would delay his salah. So he washed his hands and wiped his face and went to the masjid. Here he remembered the scene he saw 10 years ago and said, "Oh Allah, was I unfair to this sheikh?" Anyway, he rushed to the officer of the area and asked him for the sheikh's address. And after a long search, he found the address. He went the next day, and after a search and trouble, he found the house of the sheikh. He knocked the door, and an old woman came out and greeted him with "Assalamu alaikum." Then he asked her, "Is this the house of the sheikh?" The old woman asked, "Are you his friend?"
He said, yes, I am his friend. She said to him, welcome. In the yard of the house, he saw a young man with a disability sitting on a wheelchair and wearing ragged clothes. When he sat down, he asked, where is the sheikh? She told him that the sheikh had died 8 years ago because of the worsening of the skin disease and that he did not have money. His wife also died years later due to pneumonia and left this disabled child with her. Abdullah slapped his face and exploded in tears at what he had done to the sheikh and his family. Do not judge what you see quickly, for you know not what the situation is. How true. How true. We do not know situations and we are there to judge. Allah knows best. Allah make it easy. Allah protect us all. Allah make it easy for us all to have the understanding, inshallah. Now today in particular we're going to Turkey. Now Turkey has been on many people's tongues for a very, very long time. People talk about Turkey, just wanting to go to Turkey because Turkey is such a beautiful place. There is hope after despair and many suns after darkness. Inshallah, after this virus, there will be lots of hope. And Turkey, explore the ancient history and natural beauty. You can immerse yourself into the rich culture while experiencing the mouth-watering flavors of Turkish cuisine. The Marmara region, where east indeed meets west, to the northwest, Greece and Bulgaria, and to local traditions, Istanbul, Turkey's largest and most vibrant city, stands a bustling, vibrant, cosmopolitan hive of energy, soaked in history and remnants of the Ottoman times. The ancient Ottoman capital of Bursa is known not only for its historic architecture, but also where Turkey's elite spend their winters skiing on the mountain of Uludag. A must-visit region for every traveler. That is a place which we always go to. Whether it's 18 holes on a golf course, water sports, camping, hiking, canyoning, relaxing on the golden beaches, no matter what the season, you can't go wrong when visiting Turkey. Beautiful. From UNESCO sites to traditional craftsmanship, from iconic religious buildings and architecture of the finest masjids to the arts and crafts of the Grand Bazaar, which is extremely huge, Turkey is drenched in the richness of everything that is cultural. Fresh, local, natural produce makes Turkey the ideal place to get your palate trying new flavors. Authentic Ottoman cuisine, the perfect assortment of grilled meat, fresh seafood, and not to forget the rich honey and rich desserts. And my favorites, introduced to me by a dear friend, which I have whenever I go to those areas. It's called kunafe. Kunafa, kunafe, they pronounce it differently. It is most divine. And whenever I have kunafe, I just have that taste that comes in my mouth. I just, it's a thought of the best. So when you go to Turkey, do not leave kunafe out. With ice cream, the best. An ancient story that dates back to the cradle of civilization. And it's an epic journey through centuries of occupation from the Seljuk Empire to modern-day Turkey. You get the best beaches in Turkey. When you're in a country with coastlines along the Aegean and the Mediterranean seas, you're bound to be spoiled for choice when it comes to decent beaches. Beautiful, especially in the south. And that's certainly the case with Turkey. Some, like those around Marmaris, are well known to foreign visitors and come with all the amenities a holiday maker could ever ask for. Travelers that are looking for beach vacation may want to consider the Turkish Riviera. Guests are surrounded by luxury, not to mention a wide variety of water activities, from water slides to windsurfing to just lounging on the beach. Or they can relax with a spa treatment or traditional Turkish bath. not forgetting the ever-popular hot air balloon rides in Cappadocia, as we say, or Cappadocia, as they say, and the natural travertine pools in Pamukkale. The most best. I loved the Pamukkale travertine pools. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And that's what I can say. And that is Turkey. But today, it's different. We're talking of Turkey, and we're talking of the unforeseen and the sad reality of the coronavirus in Turkey. We are going to be talking of the situation on the ground, and the sad situation on the ground in the whole world. Not only in Turkey, but the whole world round. Everything is just happening and happening. Allah protect us all. Allah make it easy for us. And Allah guide us. And we are now going to be talking Turkey on the ground. All the way from Turkey, as I said, we do have Brother Umar Ali. I know him personally though. But we have Brother Umar Ali who's in Turkey at the moment and who's going to be talking to us and telling us about this situation in Turkey. Now we know that the situation has been, it's a grave situation, whole world. In the whole world, we do have a grave situation. Turkey is no different from all other countries. And it is sad to say that the virus itself that we're talking of, the coronavirus, has seen no face, has seen no race, has seen no color, has seen no creed. And it just went crazy. So we do have Brother Umar Ali. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Umar. How are you this morning or this afternoon? Is it more? What's your time there? You don't know. But anyway, but whatever it is, assalamu alaikum and welcome to our program, Globetrotting in South Africa. And I really appreciate you taking time on the Sunday afternoon talking to us.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Great salams from Turkey, here from Konya, from grade school of Mevlana. To all of you in South Africa,
yeah. Shukran. When you say Konya, and when you just told me earlier on, you're in Konya at the moment. I remember Konya so very well when we went. And it was just the time when the tulips were all blooming. We went and we saw the most beautiful tulips. And then we went on another time when we went to the madrasa of Sheikh and Mevlana. They say Mevlana Rumi. We were there, and what an atmosphere. Beautiful. I loved it. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a spiritual city. It was the capital of the Seljuk emperor. Before the Ottomans. Yes. So it's a spiritual big city, yeah.
Right, alhamdulillah. You know, there's one of our, somebody that toured with us to, when we went to Turkey, and she became so, I would say, so obsessed with Rumi's sayings, that every time any message that I get, and when it says Rumi at the bottom, I will forward it to her, and whenever you look at her profile pictures or her updates or anything, it's everything to do with Rumi. Rumi had so much, she was so much inspired by Rumi when we came to Konya, but so beautiful. You're in such a beautiful city. And that city itself is very, very peaceful. I really loved it. When you have those trams on the road, so beautiful. And it's in such a peaceful city, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Before I was in Ankara, in the capital, for 5 years. And now I can calm down here and, you know, relax the atmosphere, the calm city, as you said. And it's not as crowded as Istanbul. Even though there are a lot of tourists coming here to see Mevlana. And it's inspiring a lot of people around the world, with his sayings,
Alhamdulillah. Now that you are in the city of Konya, we start off with Konya. What's the situation like in Konya? Konya used to be, as I know, Konya, very, very quiet. And now with this virus that is here, what's the situation like in Konya at the moment?
In Konya, it's like the most major cities in Turkey. So staying in a lockdown and curfew and the weekends. So people are staying home and just going out for groceries. You know, the malls are all closed and the museums, you know, when Mevlana and the other museums all are closed for visitors. So, generally like the situation around the world, especially in the larger cities. So the streets are, it's more, much more, quieter than it was before.
Okay, now that we
we're talking about in the first place. Tell me a little about yourself. You are in Konya, you were in Ankara, but you were not born in Turkey. You are Turkish, but you were not born in Turkey.
Yes, right. I was born and raised in Germany. My parents are there, my family is there, my relatives are there, and I have also relatives here in Turkey. I went to school there and had my life there, and I came to Turkey in 2013, yes, under the scholarship of Diyanet. Had the opportunity to study here Islamic theology, and I am now in Konya for further education. I'm also volunteered for you know, these international relief programs, and that's where I met you.
Yes.
With the Diyanet Foundation in Vietnam, yeah. And since then I went to different countries for the past years, yeah.
The government wing called Diyanet, I know it's an organization, it's a charitable organization set up by the government, and extremely good work. And that's why I met Brother Omar Ali. We were in Vietnam together, and we were there for a while. And the thing is, they came there on a mission as well from the Turkish government. And it was just amazing to be with Brother Umar, and what a humble human being. But Brother, okay, where in Germany, just for interest, where in Germany are you from originally?
It's a middle-sized city between Cologne and Frankfurt in northwest Germany. It's called Siegen. I'm from there originally.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Cologne. Yes, I went to Cologne. Very nice. Very old city. Very nice. Alhamdulillah. Okay. First of all, now the situation in Turkey as a whole. You spoke a little about Konya, but the Turkey situation as a whole. What's the situation like at the moment? Because the whole world, I would say the whole world is in lockdown. There's a reason behind it. Obviously, you're going to get some of those people that are going to deny the fact that what's happening in the world is real. But it's there. The virus is there. It's happening. People are coming with different stories of how and who and why and all that. All that is, let's leave all that behind us. This is real. So what's the situation like in Turkey at the moment?
Yes, I totally agree with you. It's not deniable. It's everywhere. So, as you know, Turkey has a very vivid street life. So people are being outside throughout the whole day, you know, and it's very difficult for them to stay inside. Because, you know, people are in cafes, in restaurants, going to parks, you know, making picnic, and with good weather right now, and it's very difficult to stay inside, maybe that's the reason why the government made this curfew on weekends, so nobody's going out.
So is the curfew is only for weekends at the moment, and during the week what's happening? Yes. You're saying the malls are closed, so what's it like during the week then?
The curfew on the weekend started last week, so it was the first one, and it was announced just 2 hours before it started, so there was a little bit of crowded people outside getting last necessities, but after that they announced that on the weekends, for example, bread is brought to people, to their homes, so they have no need to get outside, and there are a lot of aid workers and also the imams from Diyanet presidency, they are helping in social supplies and the other stuff. So under the week, people are allowed to go outside, but they have to wear face masks in the grocery stores, and they're also forbidden from banned from sales. So the government announced that it will distribute face masks to every household every week. And they're also given free in the pharmacies. And marketplaces are common in Turkey. So with this, groceries, more restrictive.
So you're saying face masks are given free to all the people in Turkey?
Yes, it's between, because people under 20 years and above 65 years are banned from going outside. So they have to stay inside all the time.
Okay.
So the masks are primarily delivered to those in between these ages. And everyone has the right to get 5 masks for every week, so they can apply for that in the online government site where they do the other application stuff and so on. So they are delivered free house from the government, and they are banned from sale, so you can get them free.
So they're not even allowed to sell it. They must give it for free at the pharmacies if people want.
Yes, and it's a very efficient system, so you get a code to your phone with your identification number, your citizen number, I mean, and then they are given free and distributed. And in the grocery stores and markets and the public transport, if you don't have a mask, the driver is going to give you one.
So that's the government initiative from the government.
Yeah, it was very surprising and nice and, welcomed from people, because, as you know, the situation around the world and supplies for PPE is very difficult.
Yes.
So it's produced and in youth centers and around Turkey, factories switched to producing face masks. Yes. So there's, there's good supply, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And you said bread also? Are they delivering bread? Is that also free?
No, it's on the coffee, it's on the weekends. So when people can't get out, does bring the bread to your house. It's in some cities they made a discount on it and some not, but the fact that it's being bring to your
to
house,
your home,
very
yes.
Nice.
Yes, so the convenience of it, alhamdulillah.
Yes, it's no, I'm also comparing it to Germany, I have both sides.
Yes.
It's good measurements, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. We have reached our time for an ad break. What we'll do is immediately after the ad break, we will continue. I have quite a bit to ask you, but we'll continue right after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You could just join us. You're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting program. And today we're talking Turkey. But we're not talking Turkey tourism, as we normally would do, but we're talking Turkey coronavirus. And we do have Brother Umar Ali, who is in Konya, in Turkey at the moment, and he's talking to us about the situation in Turkey from his personal perspective and what he can see on the ground. He's been involved with the government, as you heard before the break. He's been involved with the government with Diyanet. It's an organization which is an initiative of the Turkish government where they have charity. It's a charity organization where they have charity around the world. And it's an organization where they do kurbani around the world, many, many different countries. So they send all these representatives to go and firsthand see what's happening. So that's where I met Brother Umar Ali also in Vietnam. But it's a unique concept and it's a unique way of doing things, alhamdulillah, shukr alhamdulillah. So Brother Umar, assalamu alaikum and jazakallah once again for being with us on this lovely Sunday afternoon.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, brother. Jazakallah for having me.
Amen. Okay, we spoke about some of the stuff and some of the stuff that amazed me, where you're getting free masks and so on for the whole country. But more than that, what about the airports in the country? The airports are shut, or is it on so-called skeleton staff with a few flights, or is it just completely closed down? What's the situation there at the moment? Because Turkey, as we know, is a hub. It's becoming one of the biggest hubs in the world. So for Turkey to close down would have been a real mission. What's it like? Is it open, closed? What's happening there?
Yes, as you said, it's a main hub. A lot of flights are coming through here, and Turkey started very early to take measurements and suspended flights to several countries. But after that, I don't know, remember the right time, but they suspended all international flights and also domestic flights. In the first place, it was up to government, to the authorities, to allow some of them. And later they suspended all of it, so like Turkish Airlines stopped to sell tickets. And intercity travels, like coaches and train, also suspended. They hang out a lockdown for 30 major cities, so no people are forbidden to even personal travel among the cities. In the first place, it was exceptional, so you had to ask for granting, but now it's totally forbidden. There are controls and checkpoints. And the old Istanbul airport, they started a few days ago, I think a week, they started to build a pandemic field hospital, like on the run field area, I think, to support the hospitals. And in the last weeks, also new hospitals opened. So, yeah, there's a lot of capacity right now.
Oh, so you're using the runways as makeshift hospitals also, as much as that?
I saw pictures, and they made it on the open area, so they started to build, and they're planning to finish it very soon. Turkish citizens around the world, the government plans to bring them all back before Ramadan, like other countries. And as you said, the international flights, you know, the big major airports like Istanbul, Ankara, Izmir, there are a few flights which are organized by the government, like a few of my friends flew back to Germany with this government flights. So these flights are allowed. You know, you apply for them on the embassy, and but normal regular flights are suspended.
Oh, so it's only special flights, obviously, to get people to their destination because they're in lockdown in another place, so they have to get out. Oh, yeah, that makes a bit of sense there. But it's amazing how Turkey is looking at this whole thing. And as far as your numbers are concerned, what's your current numbers like? I believe Turkey, according to the news this week, Turkey is growing quite fast with the numbers. What's it like at the moment?
Yeah, the Ministry for Health, he said that the new cases are going down lightly, and I think the peak will arrive in 1 week. But they release the statistics every evening transparently. So I have it in front of me right now from yesterday. It's 17 hours ago, so for yesterday evening. The current status is that totally tests is 598,932. The total cases are 82,329, and the death toll is 1,890. And there are furthermore statistics like how much people are in intensive care, it's close to 2,000, and people who got better are above 10,000. Yeah.
Oh.
So yesterday, 91 people died. Yes, it's from yesterday. Yes.
How many? 91.
No, 122.
122 died yesterday.
For daily statistics, yeah, it's from yesterday. But in total, it's close to 2,000 now.
Allahu Akbar. So Turkey is not easy there. It's quite high. You're telling me cases are 82,000 cases. It's very, very high.
Yes.
You obviously have, because you have the borders around you there, and you've got Syria and you've got all those countries around you there, so it possibly is worsening because of that situation?
Yes, the people, and they shut down the borders, and it was Umrah season, so a lot of people went to Umrah. I don't remember the numbers, but all of them were brought back and put into quarantine in state youth dormitories, and were were there, stood there, and after the 14 days they were released and took to their cities.
Oh, I see. So they were that was under good control, I would say. But anyway, you know, that's the way. Now, when it comes to the lockdown that you're talking of, that lockdown that you spoke of before the break, is that applicable to the whole country or is it only to the major cities? And what about all the small little towns that you have in between?
I've talked to some people. They also in the small cities, shops, cafes and restaurants are all closed. So the lockdown, the real lockdown is in big cities, in the 30 big cities officially, and one big area in northern Turkey. And the smaller ones have also measures from the state governments, from the provinces, yes.
So it's all controlled by the local municipalities, basically, that's what you're telling us.
Yes, there are some measures which are general for whole Turkey, and there are some differences in the provinces. Yes.
Now, as far as you say the shops are all closed, the malls are closed and so on. Now, in South Africa at the moment, we have a total ban on cigarette sales as well as alcohol sales. What's the situation with those two specific items in Turkey, knowing that it's alcohol is an addiction, cigarette smoking is an addiction. So what's the situation with the alcohol and the cigarettes in Turkey?
Yeah, the bars are closed, but you can buy alcohol and cigarettes in the normal stores. It's not forbidden in Turkey.
Oh, I see. Okay, so we have a different situation here, and it's becoming really critical at the moment with the cigarette situation, with the alcohol situation. And I think because, you know, the thing is, we look at it this way from my perspective, is that it's an addiction. And if you're going to stop somebody, it's more like a rehabilitation center they're making it now. They're making this whole country into a rehabilitation center. And obviously in that case, it becomes a situation where the black market takes over, and all these cigarette sales and the alcohol sales in the black market, prices then just start skyrocketing. I know for a fact now, there are people charging between 150 rands to 200 rands a packet of cigarettes that were initially costing about 30 and 35 and 40 rands. So it becomes a black market issue, and it's very, very dangerous. So we don't know now what the situation is going to be. But according to the law, they said that alcohol will still be banned till the end of the lockdown, which is still the end of April. Now, your lockdown that you have there currently, how did they stipulate a time that they're going to lift the ban?
As I said, firstly, it's a good perspective where demand is there's supply. So unfortunately, it's difficult. And today I read news official statement that after Ramadan, after Eid, they're planning to stepwise. They're planning to open the country. That's as of today, the situation. So there are a lot of penalty fees if you do something now. But after Ramadan, they are planning to open.
Oh, so it's in other words, another 5 weeks, and then they lift the lockdown.
Yes, and it's very difficult because the mosques are closed, and Ramadan is coming, and they on TV they're making every Juma a representative khutbah and a Juma in a different mosque, and broadcasting it. That's the situation. Yeah.
We were told that in Turkey, every masjid has got, they've got the muazzin calling out the adhan on the loudspeaker system, and they have Quran that is being read out in the through the loudspeaker system. Is that a fact?
Yeah, right. Adhan is still recited in from the muazzins, and after Isha, they make dua from the minarets, and salat, duas, different things, and the whole city is listening, and also announcements are made from the minarets who's forbidden from going out, and it's every day.
Oh, alhamdulillah, so they're using the sound system there to inform the people and highlight them as to what is going on, and also spiritually it makes a difference for the people. Alhamdulillah, it's so good. Okay, Brother Umair, I need to ask you something. As far as the hospitals are concerned, now, this is the most important thing. You touched on that a bit. You said where the hospitals were being built, makeshift hospitals on the tarmac of the airport. As far as the local hospitals are concerned, the treatment and the testing, is it all done for free? Or is there a cost involved when it comes to any of the treatments and the testing?
And now the government announced even people who don't have health care, it's all free. The treatment is all free, and the health workers are working overtime, and there's big solidarity in Turkey. In the hospitals, and people are supporting them. And but the treatment and testing is free. If you have doubt, you can call the health ministry. There's a hotline. And they come and pick you up, and if you have any needs, they bring it to you. It's very transparent, I think.
Oh, so the services are all free. Now, the doctors, the doctors that you have, they're volunteer doctors paid by the government, or also the private doctors, are they part of the whole hospital system?
You know, the last years, and I also experienced this, they put a lot of money into the healthcare system, building hospitals, and a lot of young doctors are in Turkey, and they are working overtime. They are government hospitals, they are private hospitals. But in this situation now with Corona, all have to treat Corona patients for free.
Okay, so that is all, obviously they probably have an arrangement with the government on how to do it. Now, the hospitals themselves that you have, the current hospitals, naturally the hospitals that we have in a country is catered for the general public, or when you have government hospitals, you don't, there's a certain amount of flow you have for the day and so on. Now, with an influx like this, have they extended the, I would say, have they put more beds in the hospitals, things like that, in the existing hospitals, have they made major changes to them, to the existing hospitals?
I remember to read the news that, yeah, they expanded the capacities, but right now the whole capacity is not used, so there are a lot of free beds and intensive care facilities which are free, and it's constantly growing.
Okay, so
it's in the first country, like in Germany and European countries, so they have a lot of intensive care units, and Turkish companies are also building ventilators right now, and
okay, so the services are excellent. That's right. The bottom line is we have good services there. That's it in Turkey, alhamdulillah. I can only imagine when we're talking of Istanbul as a city, that whenever we've come to Istanbul, it was jam-packed, chock-a-block. The situation in Istanbul must be totally deserted, especially when you're looking at the bazaar that you've got there, which is, the bazaar is obviously closed. But that whole vicinity, that whole area has, there's never been a time when I came to Turkey that we could walk freely there. It was just bumper to bumper all the time. So the city is completely deserted. Now, there are many people that I know of that live in Istanbul, but they come from the outskirts and country towns. When this lockdown, as you mentioned earlier, that the lockdown happened, but it happened so quick that they just announced it, and in short time it happened. People moved away back to their villages or back to their country towns. Were they allowed to move away? Because, as you said, you can't move from province to province and city to city. Are they all locked down in the city, or they were allowed to go back to their hometowns?
Right now in the situation, yes. In the first place, you know, the students, when school was suspended and the universities, there was a lot of travel increase. And after that, the government announced, you know, you can't travel, you have to stay in your city. And for needy families, they have a fund, and they started a big campaign last week for collecting, a big fund. And also government is distributing financial support for needy families. So everyone is staying put right now, yeah.
So the government is really supporting those people and giving them everything. You know, I was reading in the news this morning, sad in South Africa, very, very sad, that the government has, or there was an organization together with the government that is giving some food aid in one of the cities, and they gave a tender out. Now, this is very common here in South Africa. They gave a tender out for the food parcels. From the pictures that I've seen on Twitter this morning, the food parcels are probably items, about 7 or 8 items in the food parcel, which doesn't cost more than about 250 rands. And they have invoiced the government at 1,200 rands. And things like that. Now, it's all tender-based. Now, in Turkey, this is all government initiatives directly from the government, paid by the government and distributed by the government. Is it like that?
You know, the financial side, yes, it's directly distributed to people in need. And the international operating NGOs now narrow their operations to Turkey. Even they have international, like Diyanet Foundation.
Yes.
But a lot of NGOs in Turkey are right now focused on Turkey. And as I mentioned before, the imams and, you know, a lot of volunteering people and, you know, the disease foundation, they have students and volunteers, and everyone is helping, yes.
Okay, and now the situation with the schools. There was the schools locked down. When did that take place, the schools and madrasas?
I think right about a month ago, exactly, yes, a month, maybe 5 weeks, and they immediately started online education, broadcasting via TV, and also online live education. So they had the system before, so it was not difficult to switch to the online education system, because it was proven before to be good, and they tested it already, and they were using it. So, yes, it's taking place online right now.
And like in your case, universities, and you're looking at all those institutions, tertiary institutions, that's also online?
Right, yeah. We're making online education. And yes, and for the universities, they announced that this education year ended. And so it's only taking place online. Till further notice for the next term, but this term is just online.
Okay. So, but do they when after Ramadan? You say the lockdown will be lifted. Does that apply to schools as well?
I'm not sure about that. They didn't mention a lot of details, but they just mentioned the Minister for Health just mentioned it today. But I'm not aware of the details.
Your schooling year, is it from June, July to the next June, July, or is it from January to December, like how we have it here in South Africa?
The university semesters end in June regularly.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that means now you come in towards the end of the year, so now you have your final year exams and so on.
Right, yes.
So that will be very difficult, hey, for if they have to have a lockdown on schools and have online education till end of the year, your final examinations get affected. It's going to be very difficult for the university as well as the primary and secondary education.
Yes, so they're getting homework and, you know, projects to work on, and some are making online exams via video, and every university and education facility is taking it differently.
That make it easy for everybody. We're already out of time. When I asked you initially that we're going to be talking for about 45 minutes or so, you almost fell on your back and said, how much are we going to talk? But there's so much more we can talk of, but we're already out of time, Brother Omar.
Yes, very quick, but I didn't expect
that. No, inshallah. So your family out in Germany, are they all okay? Any issues in Germany with your family? Because the majority of your family are in Germany.
Alhamdulillah, for the moment they are fine, healthy. I hope it's the case for all families in all communities.
Inshallah.
Make dua.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Allah make it easy. Allah protect us all. Allah guide us. And Allah make this whole thing that's taking place, there's a reason for it. Allah make it possible that we all become human conscious. Because the world has been a chase all the time. We've been running, chasing. It's been a rough world. And with all this, the lockdown, we're all at home, we all now, I would say it's like simmering down. And inshallah, with this change in our lives, Allah make it possible that we can maintain this lifestyle of having humanity in our hearts and the treatment of people, and realize that this world out there is a dangerous world. And there's a bigger picture where we have our families, where we have our own that we should be with, and our closest, and so also friends that we always looked and we like always never got into contact with. Allah make it possible that we all that come together now, and humanity now comes back into our hearts, inshallah. That's the dua we make, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Brother Omar, Jazakallah, I really appreciate you talking to us all the way from Turkey. You are in Konya, the most beautiful place, the most peaceful place, most serene, where you have Rumi, we call him Mevlana Rumi, and it's the most serene place. I really love that place, alhamdulillah, and you are so fortunate to be there. Allah make it easy for you, Allah protect you, Allah make it possible that your entire family is all okay and all the people around you, and Allah give the government of Turkey so much more because of their kindness and because of the good that they do. And all I can say is, President Erdogan, Allah look after him and Allah guide him, and he's the man, I think. Inshallah, Allah make it possible that everything goes well for you. Jazakallah, my brother. I really appreciate you taking your time talking to us.
Same to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was brother Umar Ali, who's in Turkey at the moment. As you heard, he's born in Germany, but he's Turkish. And we met up in Vietnam. We were doing Kurbani in Vietnam, and we met up in Vietnam with Umar, and we spent some time with him there. I think 2 years in a row we spent some time with him, and what a wonderful human being. What a humble human being, and Alhamdulillah, Allah make it easy for him, for everybody also. And it is just a situation like this. It's a worldwide situation, and I think we as Muslims should realize that this situation is not something that when we hear also, we say, no, this the government is doing this, or the international organizations are doing this, and it's a plot against the Muslims. This is real, people. This disease is real. We hear it all over. We spoke to somebody in Germany. We spoke to somebody in Italy. We spoke to somebody in the UK. We spoke now to Omar, who's in Turkey. This situation is real. Please, people, let us stay home. Let us take care. And this thing here can attack just about anybody and everybody. So let us be very, very careful. So that's the message that we've got also from Turkey. Let us be very careful. But inshallah, we'll see next week. We do have another lineup. Let's see what happens next week. We will be talking to somebody else from another country. And let's just see what the situation is. Allah make it easy. Ramadan coming next week. Allah make it easy for us all. Allah give us that strength in Ramadan. Tarawih is going to be a bit of a difficult issue, but Allah give us that strength where we can make lots of ibadat and ask Allah to help us and guide us. That's the most important thing we ask for. Ramadan is coming. I would say Ramadan Kareem to everybody. Allah make it easy for you. Allah protect you. And please make a special dua for me and my family and the entire ummah throughout the world and all people, not only Muslim, but for everybody in this world. This disease is real and it's attacking everybody. For myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.